Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite movies is Disney's Moana. It tracks the life and adventures of a chief's daughter who is drawn to the ocean. With the help of a feisty grandma, a demigod named Maui, and some grit and determination, even as she experiences moments of some serious self-doubt, Moana returns the heart of the ocean to her rightful owner, which helps return life and vitality to her people's island of Motunui and the world around her. One of my favorite scenes in that movie involves a young Moana. A baby turtle is trying to navigate to the ocean for the first time after being born, but there are seagulls flying around searching for their next meal. The young turtle looks delicious, you know, that whole circle of life thing. Moana realizes this turtle's predicament and takes a large palm branch and hovers it over the young turtle as it navigates down the beach from its nest to the ocean for the first time. She even yells, "Shoo, shoo," to the seagulls to keep them away. The young turtle makes it safely, and the ocean, the spirit of the ocean, realizes this young human has a heart for the life and well-being of creation. The ocean then chooses Moana to return the heart of the ocean to Tafiti, the island goddess of life. The ocean interacts with Moana and shows her the beauty and wonder of what lies beneath the water, and then gives her the heart of the ocean that will be returned one day to Tafiti. Moana was way too young to understand what was going on. She was simply enjoying the wonder and beauty of the ocean, as well as the ocean's playfulness. Moana ends up dropping the stone or the heart on the beach as her dad and mom come and whisk her away from the edge of the ocean. And although the movie doesn't show it, we know later that feisty grandma picked up the stone or heart and then presented it to Moana when she was ready for her journey to return the heart to its rightful owner. The ocean's choosing a Moana mimics, I believe, what is going on in our gospel lesson today. It is a continuation of Jesus' farewell discourse on Jesus' last night with his disciples before he is arrested, tried at night, and crucified the next day. As you recall from last week, Jesus tells his disciples that he is the way and the truth and the life. He also tells them that he and the Father are one, that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. All the words and works Jesus has said and done are the same as the Father's works because they abide with each other. And now today, Jesus welcomes the disciples into this relationship. He tells them, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Just as the ocean welcomed Moana into its work of restoring life and vitality of the world, Jesus welcomes the disciples into God's redeeming work of the gospel in the world. And like Moana, the disciples didn't grasp what Jesus meant until after the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them and they began to understand and enter into the holy work of proclaiming the gospel in word and deed to the world around them. And that Spirit is what Jesus promises them in this welcoming relationship. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." Jesus' words are about relationship, and not just any relationship, but a forever relationship. Just as the Father abides with Jesus and is in Jesus, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will abide with the disciples and be within the disciples continuously. They will not be left on an island in this world when they are sent out to live and proclaim the gospel of Jesus, because they are in a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. Moreover, Jesus is their advocate as well. He's the one who called them to discipleship, welcomed them into relationship, and gave them a front row seat to all the work of the gospel, all the healings, the raising people from the dead, every teaching and parable, and all the transformations of people's lives and families. When the Holy Spirit abides with them and is within them, especially from Pentecost on, Jesus' words and actions are going to reverberate in their minds and hearts as they live and breathe the gospel the rest of their lives. Kind of like a person close to us that meant the world to us, whose wisdom and words and voice reverberate through our heads and hearts as we face the challenges of life. And all this abiding with, all this relationship talk is rooted in love. At the beginning of the gospel lesson, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." A better translation of this text would be, "Because you love me, and I know you do, you will continue to keep my commandments." Jesus is giving a statement of fact, a commentary on the present reality, not a question of, do you or don't you love me? Jesus knows they do, even though they are human and are going to fail in the next 24 hours. Because all of God's commandments are rooted, bathed, and steeped in love. The Ten Commandments can be summarized as this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbors as yourselves. Earlier in the farewell discourse and what we read on Maundy Thursday, Jesus tells his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." But you know, sometimes love is hard, especially when life throws curveballs in our direction. People irritate us. People hurt us. Sometimes we are the culprit in those activities. Relationships can become strained or fractured. Communities can fall apart. Health can deteriorate for us or our loved ones. Stress of life can be debilitating. And in those times, loving others or even God can be a challenge because it all seems overwhelming. We saw that with Moana in her journey to restore the heart of the ocean. A failed attempt to return the heart to Tahiti caused Maui to give up and depart from her, leaving Moana out in the ocean all alone. She lost heart, and she threw the heart of the ocean back to the ocean and said she was done. But her advocates, her ancestors, especially the spirit of her feisty grandmother, called on her to remember who she was and what her calling was. Not only that, but it reminded Moana that she wasn't alone. Her ancestors, her advocates, were with her always. So with the help of her ancestors, she dove into the ocean to retrieve the heart and continued on with her journey. Similarly, our advocates, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, come to us in our dark and overwhelming moments to say, "Do you know who you are and whose you are?" The relationship I promised in love is forever. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from me. Even if we falter, even if we lose heart, even if we fail to love as Jesus commanded, like the disciples did on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Jesus is for us, no matter what, hovering a palm branch over our heads as we navigate to and through the big ocean of life, because that relationship is forever. It's not going away. For God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abides with us and is in us and is for us forever. Amen.